Year after year, the death toll continues to climb in South Texas from migrants who succumb to the harsh elements of their unauthorized journey into the United States. Humanitarian efforts are underway to save lives, but it's not enough. Also, Operation ID looks to recover and identify the remains of those who don't make it out of the South Texas desert alive. In part three of a series, Texas Public Radio's David Martin Davies tells us the story of one Texas family impacted by Operation ID.
Walking into the Operation ID storage area at Texas State University, and it's easy to be overwhelmed. There were over 260 brown, sturdy cardboard boxes stacked neatly in rows. In each one are the remains of a migrant recovered from South Texas. They are labeled with a number, but not a name, which is why they are here. These are the nameless.
There's a lot of skeletons in here.
Kate Spradley is a forensic anthropologist at Texas State University and director of Operation ID.
I want them to all be identified and go back to their loved ones.
Spradley's team of faculty and college students literally unearthed these remains in the border area, and she says this isn't half of the number of migrants who have died in South Texas.
I think this is an extremely low percentage, and I don't know the percentage because we don't have an accurate number of how many people have died. Everything is an underestimation. Since 2009, almost 900 people have died in Brooks County alone. So this is just a small number, but still overwhelming.
Spradley pulls a box from the shelf and opens it. Inside, there's a skull and bones. In brown paper bags, there are the personal items.
This person had a stuffed lion, a small, looks like a child's toy, and a luchador mask as well.
Operation ID does post photographs of these personal items on the NAMIS website, the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, operated by the University of North Texas Center for Human Identification. And that's how Zyra Gonzalez found out what happened to her brother Christian.
Even after I found the case with the NAMIS situation, it's like a part of me still hoped that it wasn't my brother.
I met Zyra at a coffee shop in Palestine in East Texas. This is where she and her older brother, Christian, grew up living the all-American dream, except they were in the country illegally, brought here by their parents from Mexico.
My brother was 7, 8 years old, and I was 3. And, I mean, we have a younger brother as well that was 1. We were brought here to Palestine, and we lived here pretty much all our lives. To school here, brother graduated in 2007, played sports, soccer, cross country, graduated with honors.
Christian was the kind of guy that people were naturally drawn to. He was an outgoing trickster who volunteered at his church. His friends called him Buddha.
He did like stuff like ranches, and people paid him cash because that's pretty much all he could do since he didn't have a way of actually having an actual physical job.
One day, there was an accident with a pellet gun, and he pleaded guilty to aggravated assault. That caught the attention of immigration enforcement, and Christian was deported to Mexico. Christian did not fit in well there. Also, once he arrived, his uncle was kidnapped by a cartel, and he was never seen again.
He got deported in May of 2012, and by August, he already wanted to come home that same year.
Christian's father made arrangements for him to come back to Palestine through a coyote.
He got a bus from Monterrey to the border through Reynosa. He stayed there for a few days, and then he did a whole day walk from Reynosa to McAllen, and stayed in McAllen for a few days. And then from there, they continued to walk. His last place where he was at was in Farfurias, Texas, not far away from the last checkpoint. That was the last time we've heard from him.
Christian was in the desert, and he was dehydrated and exhausted. The coyote called Christian's father and said he needed to motivate his son to keep walking or else he was going to be left behind. On the phone, Christian sounded disoriented.
My dad actually talked to my brother, and he just told him, "I'm tired, I can't do this anymore." My dad got back on the phone with the guy that was crossing him over and told him, "Okay, well, put him on the side of the road where somebody can see him. Immigration, a person, it don't matter. As long as somebody sees him." But he didn't do that. He just left him in the middle of the desert.
This experience has taken a toll on the Gonzalez family. Zyra says her parents haven't recovered. She's traveled to Brooks County and was shown exactly where her brother died. She has those GPS coordinates tattooed on her forearm. Operation ID had recovered Christian's remains. His DNA was entered into the database. Photos of his belongings were put on NamUs, and years later, hunting online, Zyra found him. Eventually, his remains were brought to Palestine, and he was given a funeral and buried with a headstone. At the gravesite, there's a photograph of Christian in his cross-country uniform. There's a small soccer ball on top of the grave, a statue of Buddha, and a bottle of water. David Martin Davies reporting.